You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
It's a very long story, actually. But In My Blood It Runs was birthed out of, I suppose, my 10-year relationship with Arunda families in Alice Springs in the desert. And I was very privileged to be invited by elders to support them to make films about the empowering work they're doing to educate kids in language, culture, and identity over the last 10 years. And, you know, in that time, I suppose, went out to country with kids for the first time and witnessed children speaking in their, you know, first, second, third languages, and had, yeah, you know, made lots of mistakes, and people very generously led me into their lives. And In My Blood It Runs grew organically out of those relationships. And we started making that in collaboration with Duan's family and his grandmother in particular, who I'd known for a long time. And, yeah, it's been a very beautiful and awakening experience for me. I think that the story follows Duan, who's a 10-year-old Arunda Garawa boy, as he's navigating the education system that's not built for him in Australia, you know, juvenile justice system out to lock him up, child protection system out to take him away from his family. And the film focuses on his family's loving fight to keep him grounded in culture, the only solution that they know works. And I suppose the backdrop of the film, which was unbeknownst to us at the time when we started filming, was that, you know, the allegations around child torture in the Dondale Youth Detention Centre had just broken.
Right.
And many of those families that I worked with had, you know, their children, their nephews, their nieces in Dondale. So it became very apparent about halfway through filming that Duan's very real fate could be, you know, falling into that future. So we all rallied and we built an amazing structure around the film to ensure that Arunda families had, you know, the story that we made was a story that they were happy with and had control over how they were represented. And we had advisors and, you know, everyone in the film is collaborating directors, and we all rallied and made a support for the film and also for Duan to get through this moment in his life. So it's been a very, very big process. And,
yeah.
And from what I understand of the New Zealand context, a very relevant story for New Zealand as well.
Yes, and I mean, so that was actually my second question was going to say, this film is quite different to your previous film, so how did you come to tell that story? So you actually were involved much earlier in these families' lives before even coming to realise that you were going to make this film?
Absolutely, yeah. So
right.
A lot of the films that I've been making over the last 10 years with MK Turner, Agnes Abbott, who were all elders, Duan's elders, were more for internal use within families. So they weren't films for the public. It was archiving song lines, stories to be kept, I suppose, in a safe or in a vault for when those families want to pass it on to another person in their family. And over that time, just built the most beautiful relationships and learnt so much. I really grew into making In My Blood It Runs, I think.
And because that's quite important, right, the recording of that information, and it's also very sacred information to be kept internal, like you say. So what was it that meant that this story, In My Blood It Runs, needed to be told publicly? My next question was going to be about the school to prison pipeline. Was it really about showcasing that issue and how real it is?
So I think that why I felt it was really relevant to tell this story was because, yeah, I went out on country with kids who spoke many languages, with child healers, with children who were confident and proud on their country and in their culture, and then they were hitting the Western education system and marked as failures at school. And it really is no surprise because they are measured by Western values and only taught in English, which is absurd in a country with so many different strong language groups. And originally we started making this film. I thought it was going to be a film about the education system and how it misses these children. And I think what I learnt along the process is that the West likes to silo out these issues of, you know, juvenile justice and education and child protection as different systems. But when I walked alongside Dwan over these years, I saw that all of those systems are intrinsically interconnected. And yeah, I mean, I think I'm careful sometimes about using the school to prison pipeline because it's a term used in the US, but I do think that it is quite appropriate in Australia and probably New Zealand. It's not what, it's not what the government or the public are used to using. It's still a new term in Australia right. for that, but I think the film does describe the connection between those systems and how a child can be set up to fail in the education system and where that can lead him.
And that is why you say, I guess it would be a film relevant to New Zealand, because it is these systems, these colonial systems that have been set up, and the overarching relationship between institutions like education that go out and basically affect a kid for the rest of their life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose in Australia we look to New Zealand as being, you know, more progressive than Australia in some ways in terms of having a First Nations-led education system already, which I only know a little bit about, but is pretty incredible. And the families in My Blood It Runs have identified as one of their change goals for the impact release of this film to be to build support for an education system led by the elders in Australia. So that's one of the things we will be working on and absolutely should look to New Zealand for guidance, I think.
Right. So there is a sort of intention to use this film for future change, because I wanted to mention that this, I mean, obviously you're dealing with major systemic change that is needed. Are you hoping that this comes from, I guess, to use the not great terms of top down or bottom up? Because it's almost ultimately what you're needing is that grassroots movement of people in control of their own language, their own knowledge, and communicating that to their own children.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were very lucky. So we gained support from this organisation called Good Pitch, and we actually raised our social impact budget for the release of the film before we even financed it, which is very unusual.
Yeah, that's and awesome.
When I sat with our board of advisors, the MKs and the Agnes Abbott and, you know, Amelia, who's a traditional healer, we were able to say, look, this film will give back. That's what my intention is. So at the moment now, having finished the first leg, it's taking off the filmmaker hat and putting on the campaigner's hat with an amazing impact team. And the families identified a number of change goals, and the key messages of the film, which run the whole way through, are exactly what you just said. So Aboriginal people should have the agency to control their own lives in every area, and that's deeply seen in the film, because every challenge that arises in the film is solved by a solution that Dwan's family come up with. It's not a solution that is solved by any of the systems that are meant to lift them up. And the other big goal was around, message was around just love. And Megan, who's Dwan's mum, just said to me, like, Maya, I just want Australians to know that Aboriginal people love their kids. And I was so devastated by that in some ways, because how absurd in 2019 that it needs to be a key message of a film that, you know, Aboriginal people love their children, which is absurd, but that the film absolutely does that. It shows the absolute constant fight and adoration and love that this family have for their child to keep him safe. But yeah, the other change goals are around tackling racism, building First Nations-led education system, and building restorative approaches to juvenile justice. The last one in particular is going to be really full on in Australia. We're currently fighting a national battle to raise the age of criminal responsibility from 10 years old to 14 or 16. So you can lock up a 10-year-old in Australia at the moment, which is the age of Dwan in My Blood It Runs.
Fuck.
Yeah. As Dwan said, we need to stop crawling kids.
Hard out. I didn't know that about the 10, yeah. I guess I wanted to ask too, you said it briefly before, but how much is this film about showing or just stating the importance of valuing different types of knowledge? Because you say, even just reading the synopsis, it's highlighted or it's framed in this way that Dwan is this awesome, super intelligent, able to do many things, and then after it's said that the school considers him as he's failing or that sort of thing, and perhaps a mainstream media news article, that first line of Dwan being this awesome kid who knows all of these things, that would never come first, right? The thing that would be said first is that he's failing in school.
Absolutely. We're in the midst of a war in terms of the stereotypes and tropes that are fed by media and politicians and the greater consciousness of Australia. And so the whole way through the film, we made a real conscious effort to make it a strength-based film. We weren't prepared to put a story out there that was anything less. And I have to, of course, honour my collaborating directors, who are all of those in the film who absolutely kept us on track and supported our team in, I suppose, the process of decolonisation so that we didn't fall into any of the usual tropes. I should mention that two of our producers are First Nations people, Larissa Barrett, who is an incredible lawyer and filmmaker and activist and radio presenter, and Rachel Edwardson, who is an Alaskan and Upiat woman who's a filmmaker as well. And then the other producer is Sophie Hyde. So amongst us, we had a pretty kick-ass core group of women who just kept the whole project honest. And that's something we all agreed on, was that the film needed to tackle the usual tropes. And that was pretty easy in lots of ways, because Dwan is the most intelligent, hilarious, cheeky rascal of a kid who will just wins over your heart. And the one reason why I started making this film, obviously I'd been working in the desert for a long time, but when I met Dwan, was just so so wise, and as often children often are, but he was also able to articulate very complex ideas in a kind of poetry, and I think that comes through in the film. I think he's really got a lot of lessons to teach Australia, and there's something from the mouths of babes that I hope Australia might listen.
I kind of want to just leave it on that note, actually. I did want to say one more thing about how you've told stories from a children's perspective, I suppose. I mean, I don't know all of your work, but this story in Gaby Baby, I guess, you've got children at the forefront. They're the ones that are telling the story. Why do you do this?
So there's a few reasons. I think that children have a bare honesty and moral code that is more intact than many adults. There's something that happens when we grow older and we mature and we become cloudy from the world and the politics and different political motivations. And a child can see clearly. There's a clear roadmap as to what is right and wrong. And so rarely do we give children the agency to speak their truth. And I think generally in many countries, and definitely in Australia, children are often seen as being naive or as being young or childish, and, you know, we tell children what to do. But in actual fact, we have a lot to learn from children because they have this strong moral code to be able to identify right from wrong. And so when you sit with a child, we sit with Duan for an hour and a half in a cinema and give him the platform and the agent there to speak, I think you have the opportunity to learn a lot. And I had, so my first film, as you said, Gaby Baby, which followed the lives of four children whose parents happened to be gay, was my first time working with kids. And obviously that is a very different kind of story because I'm also a gaby. I was raised by two lesbian mums, and so I was able to work a rapport with the kids in which they, you know, we understood each other in a certain way and what the kinds of stories that we wanted to tell. In My Blood It Runs is a very different film. Obviously I'm a non-Indigenous person, and so working with Duan was even more of an exchange where he was my teacher, and we became very close over the 3.5 years. So, yeah, I don't know if I answered that properly, but I have a great respect for those who I decide to make a film with, and I think it's, you know, it's a real honour to give their voice and their truth a platform.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I was going to kind of make a little bit of a joking question, and that, you know, do you have a child assistant director or something to kind of indicate, you know, where you should shoot or how you might, you know, question somebody or whatever. But actually it's about that, forming that relationship and giving the subject, I suppose,
actually Duan films quite a bit in My Blood It Runs, and he's definitely an aspiring filmmaker, so he had lots of tips for when I was filming the entire way through. He's not afraid of an opinion. So I hope that he continues to make films. And, yes, maybe he can help on future projects because he'll know exactly what it's like to have a film made about you.
Is there anything else you wanted to add?
It's really nice to connect it back, I suppose, to New Zealand, because I think that sometimes there's this idea that Australia is so much worse than New Zealand, and therefore, you know, you don't have to worry about what's happening in New Zealand. So I know that there's a big fight at the moment in the child protection stuff for Maori kids in New Zealand, which might have, you know, the film also shows Duan's sense of history and understanding the Stolen Generation and the history that runs into him. That is literally the title.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.